Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right, here we are, another episode of Compliance Pointers. This one hot off the press. Can't wait to be released. We got changes going into effect, I think, less than a week from now. And I'm joined by Kevin Mayfield here to tell us about Texas. What is it, SB 140?
And SB 140, yeah.
SB 140 sounds like a viral strain of something. SB 140. But Texas changes around telemarketing, and you're going to give us some insight and some tips on that. Maybe not a lot has changed, but how they're going to be enforced is what really has changed. And so for our listeners and our viewers, Kevin Mayfield is a 10-plus year consultant here at Compliance Point. I think your official title is managing consultant. Is that right, Kev?
I think a manager of marketing compliance, something like that.
Manager of marketing compliance.
Yeah, I don't really like to get caught up in titles, Jordan.
But so Kevin works in our marketing compliance group, which a lot of people follow Compliance Point probably know. It's our origin story, really, and that's operational advisory consultative services around the various what we call direct marketing or direct to consumer or telemarketing laws in the U.S. And a lot of times, you know, people think, well, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm not a telemarketer, but the definitions are pretty broad. Text messaging, calling, B2B, B2C, wireless, auto dialers. There's a lot at play here. And so
taking inbound calls. You're a telemarketer.
That's right. Whole number of things. So Kevin's been in it for more than a decade. And given the nicheness of this area of expertise, I'd say that he's probably one of the top marketing compliance experts in the world. I think you could say that.
Yeah, you could probably say that.
And it's also important to know about Kevin for our listeners and our viewers. And he loves it when I say this. He's the only recipient in Compliance Point history of the Brad Pitt Award. You can decide what that means for yourself as a listener or viewer, but you know it's not a bad thing. I continue to bring that up just because I'm jealous, obviously, that you got that award. But we better get to the topic at hand. SB 140. So two of my favorite things, you, Kevin Mayfield, and Texas, the state of Texas. What are they doing? Why are they changing the telemarketing law? What's changed? Walk our listeners and our viewers through that first.
Good thing. Thanks, Jordan. So, I think the important thing to note here is that, you know, very little has changed as far as the rules go. The telemarketing rules in the state of Texas are basically the same. They made some minor changes, like saying that text messages or video text messages and so forth are now going to be considered calls. But from a federal perspective, I mean, we've always said that you should be treating all texts as calls. So, I mean, that's really a non-issue as far as we're concerned.
But that's contrary. I know you're going to keep going on the Texas law, but that's always been my understanding. Text messages are calls, and maybe I'm saying the wrong name for this, but is it the McLaughlin ruling? And I know I'm bringing another topic in, and I'm throwing it on you. I'm really testing your world-class marketing compliance knowledge here, but that decision was different than what was typically seen. Is this Texas clarification around texting being calls in response to that, or is that just coincidence?
Yeah, I think you're talking about McLaughlin rule from a federal perspective means that the courts can decide whatever they want. We've seen some courts go the opposite direction on text messages and say they aren't calls. But I think if you're going to operate in that manner, that is a high risk kind of activity. And we would not recommend that, but I mean, Texas is basically making it official, right? They're saying that Texar calls. So that's not going to fly in Texas.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going on. Sorry with the.
Okay. No problem.
Some of the others.
Yeah. So again, very little change to the actual telemarketing rules in the state of Texas, other than the text message thing. What has changed is the enforcement method. So prior to September 1st, all enforcement, or the majority of enforcement is handled by state regulators. You know, after September 1st, we got private right of action becomes available for all state telemarketing violations. So you're talking about those are going to match the TCPA fines. So statutory penalties of $500 per violation, up to $1,500 if you're doing it knowingly or willingly. And of course, any plaintiff worth their salt is going to claim that if you did it, you knew you were doing it. So they're going to go for $1,500 per. So we're talking, you know, private lawsuits, demand letters, class actions. I mean, when we see enforcement move from the state regulator to private right of action, I mean, you're talking about the risk level increasing, I don't know, 100-fold.
Right. And we say that because of what we've seen with the TCPA and the private right of action and just the amount of lawsuits claiming that.
And we saw it in Florida, too. You know, when Florida tried to do something similar, really broaden the definition of an auto dialer in Florida and make those subject to private right of action, we saw those lawsuits just explode. I mean, there were thousands of them in a matter of months. So, you know, as a result, Ford ended up kind of walking their deal back and saying, hey, well, maybe we went a little bit too far beyond the pale here. So, I mean, potentially that could happen in Texas, but as we sit here, there's no way to know that, and I wouldn't count on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you mention the date? So this is effective
September 1st. So yeah, just a few days away.
And one of the things now that you can claim, I don't know the legal term, claim damages about and put together a class action or a private right of action around is whether or not somebody is registered as a telemarketer in the state of Texas. And that's, we don't see that. Have we seen that in any other state where that can be claimed?
No, generally we view telemarketing registration as a lower risk thing because you got to get on the kind of the state AG's, you know, radar for enforcement there. But in Texas, it's a little bit different. You know, being subject to private right of action, Texas makes it really easy to go online and determine if you are registered as a telemarketer. You know, for these professional plaintiffs. And it's important to note, too, that in Texas, the exemptions, there's seven or eight of them, maybe 10 available exemptions, but they only apply to sellers. So if you're like a third-party BPO, third-party call center, you only have one available exemption to you to claim that exemption from telemarketer registration. The rest of them are only attributable to sellers. So some of the common ones, you know, publicly traded companies, if you're publicly traded, if you're a seller, you would be exempt. Now, if you're a publicly traded call center, third-party call center, that one doesn't apply to you, right? But publicly traded companies that call current or former customers. So this is not an exemption where just any EBR would exempt you from registering as a telemarketer. If you're calling prospects, you're calling with express written consent, that sort of thing, that's not necessarily going to exempt you if you're calling someone other than current or former customers. So there's several others, but those are the two broad ones, the publicly traded and the current and former customers, I'd say.
And I understand that, you know, Texas and companies being registered there, they're already behind, I think, like a couple of months in terms of getting people registered. And maybe that's not something you're too familiar with. I know we have a different group that handles telemarketer registration, but that's what we had heard from the manager of that group. And you're going to have all these other companies flooding in probably to try and get registered, even if they think they might be exempt. You know, a consumer is not going to always know laws and what's a legal telemarketing call and where somebody might be exempt. They're just, they're getting a call. It's to try and sell them something. It's on their phone. They're going to look up. And if that company's not registered, they're going to put a complaint against them.
People definitely complain about perfectly legal calls. For sure.
So maybe you have touched on why these changes are significant. And we've definitely talked about what the changes were or weren't, really. What's your recommendations for companies right now that are scrambling? And there's a lot of them. You know, we're getting a lot of inquiries, seeing a lot of buzz out there that into Texas and around registration, around their processes, the controls they're putting in around this. What are some quick hitters or tips that you would say to those companies that can be sound bites in this podcast later on?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that they just know the rules, right? They know the state rules when it comes to telemarketing. So, for example, the calling times in the state of Texas are stricter than the federal calling times. You can only call 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. I believe it's noon to 9 p.m. on Sunday. Now, if you're calling people you got a relationship with, you're exempt from those stricter times. But if you're calling people that you don't have an established business relationship with, then you should be abiding by those. Texas also has a stricter established business relationship EBR time frame for do not call. So from a federal perspective, you're getting 18 months for a prior transaction. If someone's on the do not call list in Texas, you're only getting 12 months. Now, somebody might argue that if you're only on the state or only on the federal do not call list in Texas, that you still get 18 months. I mean, it's probably not the safest course of action to take that approach, but certainly Texas has their own state do not call list. And if you're on that do not call list, you should certainly be abiding by that 12-month rule, because 100% that's going to apply. And we see very little. We've done some analysis between state and national do not call lists. And, you know, for the most part, if you're on one, you're on the other. But a lot of companies will just say, they'll just assume the 18 months, right? They don't check any do not call lists. They'll call for 18 months after a transaction. Well, if you're taking that approach, then you definitely need to be cutting that back to 12 months in the state of Texas. The other kind of weird thing in Texas is their rules around calling wireless numbers. So Texas states, and this is regardless of dial method, so unlike at the federal level, we talk about calls with an ATDS and so forth, they prohibit calls to wireless numbers, any call to a wireless number, if you're telemarketing, trying to sell something, if it's a wireless phone and you know or you should have known that that person is being charged for the call. So we're certainly going to see plaintiffs that are going to argue, oh, hey, it's a wireless number. Of course, you should have known I'm charged for the call. Most people don't have those types of calling plans, but professional plaintiffs do on purpose. Now, if you're calling with consent, that you're exempt from that requirement, but Texas doesn't define what consent means. So, yeah, just to make things simpler. So, you know, if someone's a current customer of yours and they gave you their telephone number during the normal course of business, is that consent enough to be calling their wireless number to on a telemarketing call? We're probably going to see that play out in the Texas court system, and we're probably not going to know the answer to that until that happens.
What do we recommend our clients? Get express written consent?
I mean, certainly that's the safest course of action. The most conservative approach in Texas, even if you're manually dialing, is going to be to only dial those numbers, you know, where you've got express written consent. Anything outside of that is going to be a business decision on your part, and it's not going to be without risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, while you were talking, I Googled how many people are in Texas. I knew it was a lot. As of 2024, it was just under 32 million. So about 10% of the country. So
yeah,
and I always say it, if it's California, if it's Texas, if it's New York, and they're applying state-specific law, in a way, it really does affect the whole country in terms of businesses and where they operate, because you're probably market, especially when it's direct-to-consumer marketing type law, you're marketing into Texas. And if you're not, you're avoiding a pretty big revenue stream.
Yep. Another interesting twist on it is that they have their own definition of an automatic dial announcing device. So
ADAD.
When we typically think of ADADs, we think of pre-recorded messages, right? This, their definition, because you could say, okay, well, I'll just call landlines in Texas. I won't worry about this wireless thing, and I'll just call landlines. The definition of an ADAD is equipment used that can store telephone numbers to be called and convey alone or in conjunction with other equipment a pre-recorded or synthesized voice message. So when we think about predictive dialers, right, they have the capacity that to send pre-recorded messages, because when you're abandoning calls, you have to leave a pre-recorded message.
Right.
So, you know, if your system can store telephone numbers and use pre-recorded messages, then you are using an ADAD in Texas. And
do they have registration requirements for ADADs in Texas?
Well, you're going deep in the weeds on me there, Jordan. I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they do.
There you go. Even more complicated.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, it will be interesting to see.
Yep, for sure.
What happens? I mean, it's not going to be quick, but next week, it's not just effective, it's enforceable, right?
That's right. I mean, we'll probably see plaintiffs that wait for calls to stack up, right?
Sure.
You know, to make larger claims and things of that nature. But I suspect that over the next few months, we're going to see quite a number of lawsuits in Texas around this.
So if you had to really sum it up and you had 30 seconds to make recommendations for companies calling into Texas, what would it be?
You know, make your folks aware of the changes, of these changes around enforcement. Make them aware of the rules. So, you know, the calling times, for example. And you got to remember, too, El Paso is in the Western time zone. So you can't treat Texas as one time zone necessarily. And definitely train folks on, if someone says, hey, every time you call me, I'm having to pay for this call, and hangs up on you. Right. I mean, you got them on a recorded line saying that, there's no getting around arguing that you knew they were being charged for the call. And those should be marked as do not contact. And then prohibit the use of ADADs in the state of Texas unless you've got the proper level of consent to do so. You know, anything short of that is just going to create too much risk, in my opinion.
Okay. So what I heard is, be aware of the laws. Put controls in place with your systems to honor calling time restrictions. You know, take a good hard look at what sort of consent you're getting if you're going to be calling cell phones. Consider if your system meets the definition of an ADAD.
Mm-hmm.
And consider the cost-benefit analysis of just registering, even if you feel like you might have exemptions, just based on the fact that it can be looked up and it might just be a good thing to do. Okay.
Not a terrible idea.
All right. Well, I think that's very helpful. And thank you for your time this morning, Kevin. And I would say to our audience, our subscribers, whatever you call them, whatever you refer to, I always say viewers and listeners a lot. I need to summarize it into one word, but we appreciate you listening and watching, obviously. And if you have questions around this law, please contact us, connect@compliancepoint.com. Come to our website. There's plenty of resources there, probably a lot published by Mr. 10-year plus marketing compliance expert himself, Kevin Mayfield.
We've
got a checklist on our website. I'm sure there'll be a link to this in the description of this podcast. There'll be a link to that checklist. It's pretty high level, but it's a good thing to look into. And I think you reiterated some of those points there, Kevin. But we welcome any questions, inquiries, or concerns about this law and for your business in particular, and would be happy to talk about how we can help or support. Till next time, we got to get you on another one of these, Kevin.
All right, you got it.
All right.
See ya.
Be well, everybody.